right there in the land of milk and honey. What ain't nothing funny? We making money, and I ain't looking like no dummy. So come on down, shake your butt. We got chocolate covered ladies for all your caramel fantasies. Let's go.
I gotta let this ride.
Pretty girl, looking fine.
Looking fine.
Walking down the street.
I gotta let, that's that foreign exchange. I gotta let that ride.
In my ride. Cause I've been dying to meet you.
That's that foreign exchange called working to the top. We gotta let that ride.
You stop and stare. Anywhere you go, just take me there.
Top. Oh, I gotta let that ride. There we go. Hey, man, what's up, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Radio Show. I'm glad to have everybody tuning in. I am your gracious host, by the way, for those who don't know. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex. Also known to the ladies as Denzel Sausageton. And we're going to chop up some very good game on tonight's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404 for those who want to call in and have your questions answered live on the air. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, and I mean very quick. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Do you have a business or a brand? Then you need a website that sets you apart. Blackline Web Design offers you an affordable website that would exceed your expectations. Websites start at just $200. You'll get a customized website with amazing features. You can get social media icons so that followers can interact with you immediately. Grow your brand and increase your sales with a professional website today. They have a 5-star Google rating, and that work speaks for itself. Visit them today and save 10% off with the coupon code that says Tariq. That's blacklinewebdesign.com. Again, blacklinewebdesign.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Oh, we are back right here on Tariq Elite Radio, and I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Don't forget, family, go to TariqElite.com and get all those fly, fresh shirts and all that good stuff. And go to melanoidnation.org to get up on all of that knowledge and all of the game and all of the goings on in melanoid society. You know what I'm thinking about, family? I'm thinking about having a Melanoid Nation award show, possibly at the Apollo Theater. Because remember, a few years ago, I wanted to do something with the Hidden Colors series, have like a Hidden Colors conference at the Apollo Theater a few years ago. I was about to do it. But there was some other stuff that happened behind the scenes, so we had to delay that. But I've been really thinking about that, having a Melanoid Nation award show, possibly at the Apollo Theater or somewhere in New York or possibly in Atlanta. I'm thinking about getting that together, so y'all stay tuned for that. I'm still kind of milling over the details in my mind. You dig? But we need to have something like that. Something that we can do for the knowledgeable people. But I digress. Let me see who's on the phone. We got a lot of people calling. Let me see what's going on this phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Flex?
What's up? Who is this?
This Arbo, man, from West Palm Beach.
Arbo from West Palm Beach, man. What's on your mind, fam?
Oh, just chilling, fam. Man, listen. I've been noticing white people mad about what's going on in China. And when I see in Africa with the Chinese. So when I see white people get mad, my pineal gland start tingling. And I was kind of thinking, like, I started doing research the last week or so, and I've been seeing the Chinese are doing some things over there, but I wonder if they kind of replace white supremacy with yellow supremacy. So I just want to know what you thought about that.
Well, the thing is, anybody will be supreme over you if you allow them. If you just kind of go along to get along, that's why you got to build your weight up. At a certain level, we allow certain people to be supreme over us. And understanding, we got to understand warfare. We got to understand war tactics. When you get up with an ally, make sure you don't let that ally get into a situation where they dominate you. We got to know how to utilize our allies. And that's right. What our African brothers need to be doing. They shouldn't let Africa become basically a Chinese satellite, basically.
Yeah. So they I'm looking at their relationship, and I see that they are paying for the resources they're getting. They're building infrastructure in Africa, so they actually are paying. Then I listen to different Chinese people talk about their relationship with Africa, and they say, oh, they're my brothers and sisters, and we never enslaved any Africans. So from the outside in, it looks like, okay, maybe they might be serious. They building things and leaving Africans in control of what they build, so they're not trying to run what they're building. And, you know, so I just want to know your opinion.
Yeah, they're getting what they're going to get now. You know, people ain't doing something for nothing. Now, they're getting the resources out of Africa, which is cool. You know, if you set up infrastructure, you know, it's a tit for tat thing. You know, they're getting some of those minerals and resources. But again, the Africans at least are getting something out of the deal, whereas the Europeans just came over there and just raped and raped and raped and then destroyed everything when they left. You dig? So we got to start understanding allies and utilizing people as allies and stop trying to be on that friendship thing with people who are looking out for their own interests. But anyway, I digress. Thanks for the call, brother. Yeah, the brothers over there in Africa, man, you know, they're getting down with the Chinese. But again, you better use that situation for your own benefit as well. Because they ain't going to let you, you know, they control the resources, or they control the infrastructure. So there's only so much they're going to let you do if you don't stand up for yourself. So you got to stand up for yourself and say, okay, let me look out for my people too. The Melanoid people are going to rise up. The Melanoid people are going to be back on top of their shit. We just got to start getting that code. We got to get a universal code of conduct with Melanoid people. Because Asian people, they have a universal code. Even though they might have local differences, when it comes to international affairs, they all get on the same code. People in the dominant white society, they get all on the same code. African people, or people of melanated descent, Melanoid people, we get a little bit too splintered, but we get dealt with as a group. But we think in terms of being splintered because we're the oldest people on the planet. So all of this is ours. The whole planet is ours. So we got to start fixing our mind. We haven't thought about clicking up like that, like clicking up on a large scale. Because we've been everywhere, and our genes understand that. But anyway, I'm getting too deep. I don't want to get too metaphysical here. Anyway, let's see who else is on the phone. Let's see who else we got. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up with your flex? It's your boy K-Dog out of H-Town.
Hey, K-Dog, what's going on with you, fam?
Man, I call it, man. We should be cooling down there. Hey, man, I want to get your thoughts on the whole... I was seeing some stuff they had on TV. They had some guy out of Alabama, some white dude, like a suspected white supremacist. But he, this little kid, I guess he baby, that they adopted. And it's like a little white family. You know what I'm talking about? This called Prisley Doe's Best or something like that.
Okay, I haven't heard about that, brother, but you got to call back. Your phone is real janky, brother. I wanted my man sound like he was saying something deep, but I don't know what his phone was. His phone was sounding kind of janky. His phone was sounding a little janky. All right, let's see who we got here. All right, who's calling?
What's up, man? This is Jake from Wisconsin.
What's up, Jake? What's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I was just wondering, how come nobody bought them weak-ass boots you had out?
Because I used them to kick your mama in her titties, and she just fucked up all of them. I can't kick a hairy bitch in the titties with shoes like that.
Phone.
With shoes like that, I can't do it, nigga. I can't do it.
Get your mama.
Your mama got hair on her titties. It got hair all in the laces of the boots. Fuck them all up, hey, nigga. Your mama is a hairy bitch. Your mama's a hairy bitch, nigga. Your mama needs some Vidal Sassoon. Hey, she needs to shampoo. Your mama needs to shampoo her titties, nigga. Because your mama put titty milk on them. Your mama put titty milk on them, nigga. Your mama put titty milk on them, nigga. Now get your bitch ass off the phone, your hoe ass nigga. That's why you're calling up. Hey, nigga.
Get out of here, you damn nigga.
There you go. All right. Anyway, and by the way, the dusty nigga who just called, his number is 510-457-0238. That's that dusty nigga's number. 510-457-0238. That sounds like a broke zip code somewhere. Somewhere where broke motherfuckers live. He's up in a housing project in the Bay somewhere. You bum ass nigga. All right, let's see who else we got. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Keith Flakes? It's your boy Mark from Georgia, baby.
What's going on, man? What's on your mind, fam?
Man, I don't know if you remember. I talked earlier this year, man. I've been having a problem with my lady. Looking at you, going through an email, thought she could talk to an old dude, man. But thanks to you, I'm no longer Mark from Georgia. I'm Mark in Louisiana, and I'm taking me right, dude, and I'm loving life, baby.
There you go, man. Much respect to you, man. Thanks for the call. Yes, indeed. My man called down from Houston. He called from Houston a few minutes ago. And, you know, we on Melanoid Nation, we did a story about a club out there in Houston called the Gas Lamp Club. It's a club out there that's racist as hell. They got this little white supremacist door policy where they don't let black folks in, or they charge black folks money, like $20, but they let all the white people in free. And then they inflict this bullshit jive-ass dress code for black folks. You know, it's real racist. And there's another video that came out where they were talking shit to some sisters, tried to go there. They were like, go back to the hood, go tell Tyrone I said hi. It's just real slick racist shit. And let me say this. Places like that, a lot of black folks will start saying shit like, well, we shouldn't be going up in they spots anyway. We got that. That's understandable. But y'all got to understand the big picture. There's a reason why we got to nip little shit like that in the bud. Because, again, black folks will say shit like, well, in the 1960s, they shouldn't have been trying to integrate into places that didn't want them anyway. It wasn't about that. You always have your own. Which we don't have now, by the way. You should always have your own where you don't have to depend on people, and you shouldn't have to go where you're not wanted. But you don't allow people to have establishments where they create a situation where they criminalize people based on race. You got to nip that in the bud. And it's very important to nip places like Gas Lamp in the bud. And black folks out there in Houston, y'all bullshitting. To allow an establishment like that to exist, it gets worse. It sets a precedent, and it gets worse because what happens is, if you have an establishment that's discriminating against people based on race, what they can then do is criminalize you based on race, because if somebody's up in there and they got some kind of race-based policy, just because you're black, now you can be criminalized and further have race soldiers coming at you. So we got to nip that shit in the bud. We should not have any establishments that have the potential to criminalize you based on race, based on your presence just being there. Not in policy, not in code at all. That shit should be nipped in the bud. So black folks got to get off this shit where we shouldn't go or we are not wanted. That's true, but that place still shouldn't exist. It still should not exist. Or they should not have that open policy and be so arrogant about it. It has to be nipped in the bud. We got this thing where we let white supremacy slide. We let these white supremacy policies slide. And black folks, we're made to uphold the law at every form and every fashion. We're told, black folks, if we're not perfect, we're criminals. Black people are told to uphold the law at every stand. Don't sag. If you sag your pants, you go to jail. If you jaywalk, you get killed. If you get a parking ticket, you get killed. You know, we get executed in the streets because of these laws. but people in the dominant society, they can just kind of do whatever. So you got to, black folks are going to have to learn how to make a little more noise and get shit nipped in the bud and start looking at the Constitution and say, hey, is this club violating my constitutional right? Are they violating the civil rights code? Black folks need to be on that, because letting these gas lamp clubs like that thrive and fester, that's going to set a precedent for them to have other clubs and other public locations do the same thing, and then they're going to start really criminalizing you like they did back in the first era of Jim Crow. And remember, in the first era of Jim Crow, just being somewhere you can get arrested. And in Texas, they're starting the, they're at the forefront of the new Jim Crow. Because when you saw those black kids going in that neighborhood trying to swim, the cops came and start beating up those kids. That shit has to be nipped in the bud. It has to be nipped in the bud, and we got to stop bullshitting and letting shit slide. Just on legal principle. It's just a legal principle. White people understand that. Just, yeah, you look at some of those videos of the Hebrew Israelites up in New York. Now, you may agree with some of the stuff they say. You may, some of the stuff you might not. A lot of the shit I do agree with. Some of the shit I don't. Some of it is just, you know, just real over the top. But, you know, they got a right to say what they have to say. And a lot of times when they're on the streets in New York or whatever, the, well, so white supremacists, they'll come by, the suspected white supremacists, and they'll just try to kind of disrupt them and say, hey, you people are in my way. I got a right to walk down this street. Now, the white supremacists can just walk around them. But they, the white supremacists, they understand. They're not going to let these black people set a precedent where they're going to deny people in the dominant white society access to where they want to go. That's why the white people be out there yelling at those dudes. How dare you yell at me like this? And they be going off on white people. They're like, how dare you block my path on the sidewalk and you're yelling at me? So they try to nip that in the bud. They call the police. They can't really do anything. But the fact that they do try to nip it in the bud so it won't set a precedent shows their mentality. Black folks, we don't think like that. We just kind of let shit go on until it gets real bad. And then when it gets bad, then we want to start marching and protesting. We got to start nipping things in the bud as a community early, because people in other communities, they nip shit in the bud heavy. Did y'all, the Jewish community, they do not play around with anybody who was down with the Holocaust in Europe. There's a 91-year-old white lady who just got arrested a couple of days ago. She's 91. She was an operator. Something like that. She was, an operator at one of the gas chamber places, one of the death camps. She didn't kill nobody, but she was there acting as an operator, taking calls or something. They're like, no, bitch, bring your ass to court too. But that was half a century ago. I was just doing my job. Well, ho, we're gonna do our job too. You helped out. Yeah, I know you were just answering phones and just writing shit down, but you helped make the operation go smooth, so you're getting indicted too. You're getting indicted too. We don't care about you being 91. Get your wheelchair, get your oxygen machine, and come on the court. You had a nice life these little last years you're going to do in jail. They just sent another dude to jail. They gave him 4 years, another guy in his 90s, who was, I think he was an accountant or something like that. He just took the records. He just wrote down shit. He wrote down what Jewish people had or some of their possessions or whatever. They're like, oh, no, you come on too. You go into court too for war crimes. Oh, but I was doing my job. No. You kept that system going. They nip stuff in the bud. They're not going to let you get away with nothing. You do an injustice to them, they nip it in the bud. We got to start nipping stuff in the bud. They don't give nobody a pass, as they shouldn't. We are the pass-givenest people ever. You know, Hulk Hogan, he just did, and I talked about it on last week's show. Hulk Hogan went on his anti-black rant, talking real crazy about black folks. One of his white friends or somebody white snitched on him, and now he went around apologizing. And I saw a video of Hulk Hogan, and this was clearly staged or something. Hulk Hogan was at some restaurant, and there was some black lady she had just got married, and she's like, oh, Hulk Hogan, I'm a big fan. And she's all hugging Hulk Hogan, and they put that up to show, hey, I'm not racist, I'm hugging a black person. And black folks, look, let me talk to the white supremacists out there. Just because you can get a black person to co-sign your fuckery, I don't care. Just because you can get a black person to co-sign or forgive your white supremacist views, that don't mean you're any less of a white supremacist. Just because you can get a victim to go along with your fuckery, look, black people are victims of systematic white supremacy. We live in a prison system of white supremacy where black people are victims, and victims will do anything to get a comfortable place within that prison system. Just like with this whole Cosby thing, you got paid trolls online now that the white supremacists are paying to troll people about this whole Cosby thing, and they're really trying to make money off this. They have a TV show, they had a TV special about the victims of Cosby's rape and all this sort of stuff. I don't believe these women. I just don't believe them because there's no proof. Some of these women have been proven to be liars. History has shown that black men have been lied on about rape for centuries in this country. They've always lied on black men about rape. So there's too many variables there for me to just buy this whole Cosby rape thing hook, line, and sinker. It's a money grab. And their whole argument is like, well, there's 54 women. Would 54 women lie? Yes. Yes, they would. When it comes to some paper, millions of people are lying if you got some paper involved. And you're dangling money out there to anybody who's willing to tell a lie. All you got to do is say, hey, anybody who's willing to get on TV, if you were ever in a room with Bill Cosby in the last 50 years, come on down. We'll believe you without any proof that he done something to you. These women have no proof. Now, we're going to go by the whole logic of, well, a number of people said it, so it must be true. Well, how come none of y'all believe when people said Mike Brown had his hands up? There were a number of black people who said Mike Brown surrendered. There was a number of them who said it. Y'all didn't believe them. It's all about white being right. And just like Neely Fuller said, the white supremacists say their logic is based on I say so. Bill Cosby is guilty because we don't have no proof, but I say he is. So that means he is, because we're your gods and what we say goes. But by using that logic, and always use that on people, tell people, if we're going to go by the number of people saying something, making it true, how come all those people who said Mike Brown had his hands up, how come nobody believed all of them? Dozens of people said Mike Brown. It was a whole flu of people who said Mike Brown surrendered with his hands up, and they didn't believe none of them. They dismissed all of them who said it. Millions of black people say, hey, there's white supremacy that's harming us on a daily basis, and nobody believes them. You got thousands of people marching all around the country saying, hey, we're not getting justice as black people. Y'all just complaining. We don't believe you. But we're supposed to believe these 54 white women. If we don't believe them, all of a sudden we get shamed. The white supremacists, they have the shaming committee that will shame you if you don't believe them. When Damon Wayans, he kind of made some jokes on The Breakfast Club about the whole Cosby thing, the white supremacists went after him. They tried to shame him a little bit. So that's the thing. Now, somebody in the chat room said, why Bill Cosby admitted it. And Bill Cosby never admitted to raping nobody or drugging anybody. And that's another thing, which shows me that these white supremacists are down to lie, because they were going around talking about, well, we got a tape of Bill Cosby, a transcript of him admitting to drugging women. But when you read the transcript, that's not what he said at all. He didn't admit to drugging anybody. He said that he got drugs and he just used drugs with women. That's not drugging nobody. So that is a lie. So if people are willing to lie about that, they're lying about the whole thing. That just shows you why I don't believe all this stuff, hook, line, and sinker, because too many people are willing to jump on and lie. The white supremacists are very good at lying. Just like with Farrakhan, the white supremacists are going around talking about Farrakhan said that he wants to get people to go around killing white folks. Farrakhan never said that. That's a bold-faced lie. But the white supremacists, they lie and then try to get mad at you for not going along or co-signing their lie. But I digress. Let's see who else we got here. What's up? Who's on the phone?
This is Jamel from New York.
What's up, Jamel? How you doing, fam?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to have some advice on something I'm dealing with right now.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
I'm not sure if this is the time. Right now, I'm in a school right now where it's like almost 88% white, like almost 90s. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I have this teacher where like I'm the only black kid in there, and like I feel like he likes to deflect when I like bring up a topic or something when it comes to like race relations or whatever. And I just wanted your advice on like how to really handle it, because it's like really uncomfortable, and I got to deal with this dude for like the next 3 months.
Dude,
it's too late to drop classes.
Dude, we are in a system of white supremacy.
Yeah.
Most situations are going to be uncomfortable. All right, expect it in a system of white supremacy. See, we keep trying to go around the fact that we're in a system of white supremacy. That's why shit don't shock me no more. When I see people acting like white supremacists, I'm in a system of white supremacy. What am I going to expect? Always keep that in the forefront of your mind and look for ways to educate yourself and empower yourself so that you can become less and less dependent on the white supremacists on a daily basis. That's why you have to self-educate. That's what I did. I knew the shit they were telling me in school was garbage. I knew it.
Also, dude was like trying to make me feel like he tried to do it in a way so he tried to make me look like I was crazy. You know what I mean? In front of like all the students. And I'm like, they're not about to do this to me, you know? Like, when I mentioned something, because it was about some bleaching article he gave us. And he's like giving us these articles about black people. And I'm like, you're giving this article to a class that's where you only have one black student in there. How do you think they're going to look at this? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's what they
and
do.
And I'm here.
Wait. It was an article about bleaching?
Yeah, bleaching in Jamaica. And I just brought up, I'm like, I don't condone the bleaching skin thing, but I'm just saying there's a reason why they do it and why they feel this way.
Right, right.
And then he just completely deflected, and like he went on like some 15-minute lecture and then just pretended like I didn't even say anything. And I'm just like, why did you just do that to me? Like,
yeah, man, you know what? When I was in school, I remember very specifically, and I went to a black, so-called black school, but a black school in a public school system is still a white school. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's only black if there's a black curriculum. We got to understand that. When they say black school, you mean a white school full of black folks. So
yeah.
I went to West End down in Birmingham. And I love West End High School. But I remember in history, I remember them teaching us about Marcus Garvey. And in the history book, what they taught us about Marcus Garvey was negative. And in high school, I thought Marcus Garvey was nuts based on what I was taught in school. They said that Marcus Garvey wanted to build a ship to take everybody back to Africa. He was a criminal because he defrauded people. And the good old law enforcement punished him, sent him to jail, and everything was happily ever after. It was that type of thing. And then when I grew up, I'm like, realized that story was complete bullshit. It was a complete bullshit story. So that made me say, okay, what else did they lie to me about? And that made me get on my quest of learning on my own. Because if you're getting people in the dominant society, especially suspected white supremacists, teaching you, they're not going to really teach you anything that's going to empower you. That's something that we just have to get in the back. We just got to get that in our brains. That's something that black folks refuse to get in our brains. So what we do, we learn what they're trying to say. We understand what they're trying to give us so that we can get along and do what we need to do within their system, but learn what they don't teach you so that you can do what you need to do to empower yourself. You feel me?
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. So we got to stop going for the okie doke, fam. Speaking of okie doke, y'all remember a few months ago when, you know, all that stuff was going on about the Confederate flag? And there was a sister named Bree Newsom, I think that's her name. What's the sister's name who climbed the pole up in South Carolina? They did that whole stage thing. She went up there, climbed the pole, and took the flag down. It was a whole symbolic gesture. And, you know, they made a big hubbub about it, and they put the flag back up. But, you know, the media, they were kind of saying she was a hero. And then I saw some of the people she was with. She was with a white dude. And I said, uh-oh. I said, okay, let's wait and see what goes down with this. Because this is, and I said this a few months ago. I said, look, with this whole thing, it looks like they're about to make her a hero. And then when they give her the microphone, she's going to start talking about women's issues. They're going to deflect from white supremacy and start talking about women's issues. And somebody sent me a video yesterday of her. She was on the Russia Today news channel talking about black women's role in civil rights. And I said, oh, wow, I'm not shocked. Just like clockwork, they're going to try to deflect into a gender issue. These people, man, the white supremacists are orchestrating that. And I'm not blaming Bree. I'm not blaming her. But I could see what they were going to have her do a mile away. I could see what they were going to have her do. I knew she was going to do that. I knew they were going to have her do that. Let me put the blame on the white supremacists. I'm not going to blame that sister. I'm putting the blame on the white supremacists. They get us to deflect. They're very good at getting us to deflect for them. The white supremacists are the ones that's orchestrating things from behind. And again, they turn things into a gender issue. What happens is we start taking the focus off white supremacy. We start talking about women's issues and gay issues that happened in the 60s. Remember, man, the Black Panthers, they got co-opted by some gay organizations like Huey P. Newton and all these people. They started getting funding from these gay groups. And these gay groups started to latch on to the Black Panthers, and the Black Panthers were co-signing these groups, and they just took that momentum and ran with it. This is why people are talking all this stuff about the trans community and Caitlyn Jenner. They latching that on to all this stuff that's happening to black people. There's a movie that's coming out too, that's latching on to all of the protests and all that, that they're going to capitalize off of. I think it's called Stonewall. Now, this is a movie about gay liberation. It was about a riot that happened in New York in 1969. And when you look at the commercials, they show all these gay people rioting and the cops beating them up and the cops fighting them, trying to tie that into what's happening to black folks. Again, they're trying to dissipate the attention off white supremacy and making it seem like a police brutality thing. This is not about police brutality. This is about white supremacists. But this is the thing, this whole Stonewall movie, for those who don't know the real deal about this, Stonewall was, and I think that's the name of it, because sometimes I be saying the names of stuff and I don't have it right, but Stonewall was a club in New York City in the 1960s and 70s, and it was mafia owned. Remember, in New York, y'all got the mafia owned a lot of shit in New York back in the 60s, early 70s. The mafia owned a lot of shit around the country. But the mafia had this gay club. They owned this gay club, and they used to have a lot of illegal shit going on in this club. I think it was in Greenwich Village, somewhere like that, and they were serving liquor. They didn't have a liquor license, but they were serving liquor. They had prostitution going on in there. They were selling illegal. It was a lot of illegal shit going on there. And it got raided one night. And when the club got raided, people started going in on the cops, and the gay people started fighting the cops, and they start beating up the gay people. So they look at that as some type of gay civil rights movement. But the thing is, that Stonewall situation, it was the police going into a situation that was illegal. So you're trying to compare something that was illegal to black people getting their asses whooped trying to go to school, or black people getting their asses whooped trying to get a cup of coffee, black people getting their asses whooped trying to go swimming. You dig? So again, they're trying to tie that Stonewall thing into our movement now. I'm telling y'all, I'm telling y'all now, they're going to start doing that heavy. They're going to start comparing. They're going to use that Stonewall thing. And when they promote it, they're just starting to promote it, but they're going to start tying that into Black Lives Matter and all. They're going to start tying that in. I'm telling y'all now, they're going to do it. I'm telling y'all now, they're going to do it. Let me see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey,
Yo, Tariq.
Yes, sir.
Yo, man, I've been listening for a long time, man. Big fan of your work, man.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to give you that props. But yeah, man, I know you've been talking about just kind of like coding up and whatnot. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Justice for Us March in D.C. With Louis Farrakhan coming up October 10th.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be out there. Yeah, me and the squad, we're going to be out there. Now, I want to see what the minister has to say. And I want to be out there vibing with brothers and sisters out there, too. So that's going to be a good vibing networking event. So I'm definitely going to be out there. And hopefully we get a good spirit going on. And it's going to be good to be around a lot of melanated people that's not on some bullshit. And a bunch of people who are not co-opted by the white supremacists. Because whenever you see all these marches and protesters out here, a lot of these people are undercover agents. A lot of these people are co-opted by the white supremacists to go out there and be on that bullshit. So it's going to be good to go out here and see what's going on. So I'm going.
Okay, okay.
Thanks for the call, brother. All right. Did y'all see the Emmys the other day? And our sister Viola Davis, the great actress, she did a speech. Wonderful speech. She did a phenomenal speech. I should see if I could find the speech. Let me see if I could find the speech real quick. Because she did a wonderful speech at the Emmys. And what happened is it was another white actress kind of hated on her speech a little bit. Let me see. I think this is it right here. All right. This is it right here. All right. Hold on one second. Let me play this. I just looked it up on YouTube. And, you know, I hate looking stuff up on YouTube on the fly because it could be somebody bait viewing a video. You can look up Viola Davis and it'd be some ashy fuckhead like, what up, everybody? Viola Davis did a speech, everybody.
I was pulling for Chandler.
Okay, where is the speech? Okay, what's the corny joke?
How to get away with murder.
Okay, hold on.
This is the first Emmy win and nomination for Viola Davis,
okay,
who is a graduate of Juilliard.
Okay, I'm playing the speech now. The audio is a little janky. Hold on. All right, here it is.
In my mind, I see a line. And over that line, I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line. But I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there.
So y'all listen, the audience, they're very reluctant because she's saying some real shit. She's like, hey, man, I shouldn't be the first person, the first black woman to win an Emmy in this category, you know, goddamn. And she's saying some real shit.
To all the writers, the awesome people that are Ben Sherwood, Paul Lee, Peter Nowak, Shonda Rhimes, people who have redefined what it means to be beautiful, to be sexy, to be a leading woman, to be black. And to the Taraji P. Hensons, the Kerry Washingtons, the Halle Berrys, the Nicole Beharis, the Megan Goods, to Gabrielle Union, thank you for taking us over that line. Thank you for the Television Academy. Thank you.
There you go. So, great speech, man. Real sweet to the point, man. That sister said some real shit. She gave props to all the other black actresses who are working hard and just not really getting their just due. And she tied in like a speech from Harriet Tubman. Very brave speech. And she said, hey, look, you know, more of us would win these things. Y'all don't give us no real good roles. We playing maids and butlers. I mean, goddamn. we got to work three times as hard to get recognized. And she's like, look, I'm a great actress, but there's other great black actresses who should be recognized too. Very brave speech by that sister. My hat goes off to her. My hat goes off to that sister. And then let me say this on a side note. We got our sisters being brave, saying what needs to be said. And these are black female entertainers who will get out there and say what needs to be said. And you got the black male entertainers hopping out here, getting on the goddamn coon train every chance they get. Stephen A. Smith, Richard Sherman, all these dudes who, the minute you put a microphone in their face, what about black on black crime? The sisters are out here representing, and all the black male entertainers and athletes are cooning it up. That's shameful right there. Shame on a lot of these black male entertainers. Shame on you, where the sisters got to go up and speak truth to power, and the minute they put a microphone in your face,
coon train is coming. Coon train is coming.
What about black on black crime?
Coon train is coming.
Where the white women at?
That's y'all, the coon train. But what that sister said was powerful, man. It was very brave. And the audience, they were very reluctant to give her props, but they had to give props to that. And on Twitter, there was a white female actress. What is that lady's name? Norma Lee Grawl, something like that. It was a white actress who wasn't standing for that. She's a soap opera actress. I think she's on All My Children. I think her name is Norma Nancy, something like that. It was some white lady, a suspected white supremacist. But she was like, and let me say this, this white actress who had a problem with Viola Davis's speech. Earlier this year, she was giving props to another white actress who gave an Oscar speech. There was a white actress who gave an Oscar speech, and she was talking about women's issues, and she was giving her props. But this Viola Davis speech, this lady got on Twitter, start talking about, well, all actresses have it bad. You know, what's all this about Harriet Tubman? It's an award. Just get your award and just keep it going. Come on. It's a white lady trying to rain on Viola Davis's parade. Patricia Arquette was the white lady. Somebody in the chat room reminded me. Patricia Arquette did a speech about women's rights and doing this for women, and women are so special. And this same white lady gave her props. Yes, that's your moment. Yes, yes, that's your moment. Viola Davis did the same thing for black women, and it was like, okay, hurry up. All right. You don't need to do all that. It's just an award. Just hurry up. All women have it bad. Stop comparing yourself to Harriet Tubman. You get millions of dollars. Be great. It was that whole be grateful thing. You know, the white supremacists, they got this thing with us where they want you to be grateful for the crumbs you get. It's like, how dare you, Negro, complain when you can be in the ghetto somewhere? We're letting you get this. So just be grateful we're letting you in the building. It's that type of mentality. They do that with athletes too. You always hear the stuff about athletes being ungrateful. They do that same thing with Floyd Mayweather. Oh, he's arrogant. They always say that shit about black entertainers. Oh, this black guy, why is he complaining? He's getting $45 million. He should be grateful. Well, he's making the money. He's running the touchdowns and making all the money, or making, getting the sponsorships and making people watch, but he should be grateful. They got that whole slave owner thing. Nancy Lee Grawl. I can't pronounce the last name. I think it's Grawl. But these white supremacists are getting very bold. They will rain on your parade with the quickness. When they see black success, people think that the white supremacists are upset with them because of black failure. No, no, no. Black failure is orchestrated by the white supremacists. The white supremacists get real pissed off at black success. When black people do something successful over them, oh no, then you see the real racism then. You dig? But anyway, That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Wait. Well, let me see who this is. We got a call from the Bay. Let's see if that's that coon-ass nigga who called earlier. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, man. They got them boots in the mall.
Hey, nigga. Hey, nigga. We got you. Hey, bitch-ass nigga. Did you get some phone calls from niggas calling your dumb ass?
Hey,
did you get some phone calls?
Get out of here, you damn nigga.
Nigga, did you get people calling your stupid ass? There you go. He didn't have anything to say. But again, that's that same coon who called up trying to troll on the phone. Again, his number is 510-457-0238. That's that coon's number. Let's call him one more time. Hold on. Let's call him one more time. Hold on. How do you call people on this thing? There we go. We're calling him now.
The Google subscriber you have called is not available.
This bitch
nigga.
Please
leave a message after the tone.
Okay. Hey, bitch nigga. Answer your Google phone, you hoe ass nigga. Answer your mama's phone. This nigga's on his grandma's Google phone, nigga. This your grandma's life alert phone number. Granny needs this number. This is the hotline for Reverend to make booty calls. All right, bitch nigga. Stop calling my show trolling. All right. I want him to call back again. I'm ready to have fun with him. Let me get another call. I'm ready to have fun. I want that bitch nigga to call back. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. This is Mr. John. I'm calling from New Jersey. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, real quick question. Well, I'm on social media, and I have a lot of groups I'm in. You know, they speak out on black issues. They're liberal groups. Only one problem. They always want us to talk out against male privilege, particularly black male privilege. And I'm asking you if you think there's a such thing as black male privilege.
No, it's not. And that's something that a lot of those pretend black feminists like to come up with as a way to waste time. That's a time-wasting mechanism, because when you ask them what is black male privilege, they start going off into a bunch of silly nonsense that ain't no privilege at all. They start talking about the privilege to leave your kids, the privilege to walk down the street and not be scared, and just shit like that, which are basically ideas. They're not privileges at all. Anybody can
exactly.
have these. Yeah, so it's just a silly trolling tactic by these pretend black feminists, so they can basically waste your time and not get you to talk about the real issue, which is white supremacy. It's a time-wasting mechanism because they cannot properly explain it. All right?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Yes, indeed. Let me call that coon one more time. Hold on. Where's that? Where's my numbers? Where are my numbers? I want to call that... I'm on Skype. Skype is horrible. Skype is absolutely horrible about calling people. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq, this is Barry from Cincinnati.
Hey, man, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Man, I just got a comment and just one question. I got a real deep question. See, look, I've been going through, like, a lot of stuff these past, like, month and a half. Like, just life's just been going south, and like my dad said, it's because I need to get closer to God. But I'm like, I just been real like,
your dad is full of shit, man. Let me keep it 100. Your dad is full of shit. That's old coon talk. When they start talking about that, we do need to get closer to God, that's basically them dismissing you. That's them dismissing you. That's them saying, I can't do shit for you, I ain't built nothing for you, I don't know what to tell you, so ask God. That's some sucker shit that a lot of old black folks have done to young black people. You dismiss them by telling them to find God. That's old coon Bama shit that black folks need to get off of and start giving these young people some tangible things to do and some tangible things that they can go out and utilize so they can empower themselves. Basically, a lot of these older niggas out here, they done went out and got good jobs under white folks, and they're comfortable, but ain't no more good jobs that the white folks are giving out now. So they're just telling you, just go pray on it. That's lazy, and that's treasonous to our children. This is why black folks got to get out here and start building something for these kids, build something for the youth, instead of just getting out here reprimanding them, pointing your finger, telling them to pull their pants up and get closer to God, while the white supremacists are out here trying to slaughter them. That's very cowardly and shameful on the behalf of a lot of older black folks. You feel me?
Right. I do feel you, because, like, it's like I'm, like, trying to listen to them at the same time. It's like, okay, like, didn't they teach us this, like, when they took us from Africa?
Yeah,
like,
it did. All right, let me get these other calls. Thanks for the call, brother. Okay, I think this coon is calling back. Hold on. Hey, bitch nigga. Hey, bitch nigga.
What up, everybody? It's your boy.
Hold on.
Ha!
Got it! Gotti.
That was for you, nigga. All right. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And one more time. One more time.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama, and we've asked our viewers to submit some questions for the Senate.
My bad. Hold on.
The Google subscriber you have called is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
Oh, cause some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got it.
There you go. I played these nuts for that nigga. All right, anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the show. That's been today's episode of the show. Oh, the dude who called, his name is Tim Angelou. What's up, Tim Angelou? From St. Charles Street in Oakland. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on, somebody. Somebody in the chat room gave me some intel. Hold on. Hold on, bitch nigga. Hold on. 1 second. Wait a minute. I was about to stop the show, but wait a minute. This is a bitch nigga named Tim Angelou from what somebody in the chat room has told me. Hold on. Let me look into this real quick. Let me look into this before I go. Wait a minute. Tim Angelou from Oakland on South Charles Street. I wish I could find a picture of this nigga. Man, let me find a picture on Tim Angelou so we can put it on Ustream. But somebody did a skip trace on his phone number and said his name is Tim Angelou. He's up in Oakland on St. Charles Street, according to Lookup. He's on a track phone. Google canceled us. Okay. All right, Tim Angelou. Somebody find me a picture of Tim Angelou. That nigga, that sounds like a moist nigga. Sound like a big old fat moist nigga. With a piercing on his balls. Find me a picture of that nigga. Anyway, let me get off here. I got things to do, fam. But that's been today's show. Go to TariqElite.com. Go to... what else? TariqRadio.com to get my lectures, the Code of Conduct Tour. Get International Racism, that lecture. Get that download right now. And I will holler at you guys on Ustream this Sunday, family.